Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Welcome to episode 25 of Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude,
we got a show today.
We've got a lineup and a half, let me tell
you. We got a lot of stuff. We got the very first guest in Dudes on Hockey history.
Dude, that is exciting.
It is. We got Earl Sleek, who is a Ducks blogger, actually, for Battle of California, one of my favorite hockey blogs.
It's fitting for this week.
We got the Ducks coming up on Thursday, so we're going to be doing a preview with our buddy Earl Sleek. So we're going to have him on a little later in the show. We have plenty of things on tap for you today at Dudes on Hockey. But first of all, we had two Sharks games since our last podcast, Columbus and the Oilers. But first, we have to start with a new poll question that you can find at dudesonhockey.com, which is apropos to us and our situation.
That's right, dude. And we've got a unique situation at our new section, which let's not name it for right now. I mean, some people know what it is, but I think for the purpose of the poll question, we'll go anonymous with the section number.
I think we should, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. You know, some people may know where we sit, but the fact is, it's an either-or kind of poll question. It's just, you know, it's A or B. So, which is worse? Having a guy sitting next to you that talks for the entire game about stuff other than hockey? The guy talks about his deck, his girlfriend, his trip to Europe. He's sitting right next to me. He's talking about Europe for 2.5 hours.
Okay.
So, on one hand, you got that guy. On the other hand, you got a guy behind you that insists on talking loudly about the game all the time, and he has no idea what he's talking about.
Below surface knowledge.
Yes, yes. Mediocre knowledge on his best day. And on his worst day, he sounds like a blithering idiot, which is most of the days.
Tell us how you really feel.
So the question is, Dudes on Hockey listeners, which is worse? Answer the poll at dudesonhockey.com, because I frankly don't know which is worse. This is a conundrum for us both, is it not?
Yeah, I think we'll weigh in next week as far as which one we would have voted for, but we're curious to get your reaction, because as much as we enjoy going to the games occasionally, it is torture.
It's a rock and a hard place sometimes.
Absolutely.
So that's the poll question. Check it out. Second up, we got to talk about the games. We had two games that sort of happened, maybe both didn't end up the way they should have ended up. We didn't play that well against Columbus and won. And we played pretty well against the Oilers and lost. So what can you say? It's kind of a topsy-turvy week.
If this is as bad as it's going to get, then I'm okay with it.
Of course.
Because Columbus was not good. They played flat. Columbus played probably about as well as they can.
Right.
And then they walk out of the arena going, what else? How would you like to be Columbus? What else do they have to do to win that game? They shut us down.
And Jamie Baker said on the radio last Sunday that that's the best he's ever seen Columbus play, period. So we certainly got Columbus's A game and still won. And
we got Nabokov's A game that night, too.
That's
for sure.
Absolutely true. But against the Oilers, the Sharks brought their B-plus game and lost because the Oilers caught a break at the end in an overtime penalty, which is a 4-on-3 man advantage is much more advantageous than a 5-on-4 minute.
Tough to kill, for sure.
It's really tough. And it's at the end of the games, after 62-plus minutes of hockey, guys are tired, and it went in off Erhoff's stick. It was a fluke, right?
Reversal of fortune that game. The Rolison does to us what Nabokov did to the Blue Jackets.
That's right.
Probably even more impressive, although Nabby made some great saves, but Rolison faced 40-something shots. He robbed us time after time, and he played out of his mind.
There were a lot of loose pucks in the crease area. He managed to gobble those up or make the save with his pads, and your hat has to be off to him but you know, you have to think to yourself, can he really do that twice in a row or four times in a 7-game series? I don't think so.
No. Well, he did during that cup run.
That's
he
true.
He did. But I don't think anymore. They can't manage to play the same goalie the next day up there.
That's true. They got three guys I should know because I have Garone on my fantasy team. I think I picked up Rolison today.
Did you?
My fantasy team is a shambles right now.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, dude, I want to talk about it because you're in last place. Actually, you got a funny email, didn't you?
I did.
Every year, Doug gets a mad email about a trade he proposed, and it happened again early in the season.
Now, post-mortem to this, we actually have spoken since and have smoothed things over.
Oh.
But I know. But this is the trade I proposed, Mike. Now, I got to try and remember it. I proposed Rick Nash.
Right.
Oh, man. Who was the other player?
Good player.
Zhirdev from the Rangers.
Okay.
And Scott Clemenson.
Right. Who's now basically the starting goaltender for the New Jersey Devils.
Correct. And in return, I asked for Biron.
Okay.
Patrick Sharp.
Okay.
And Daniel Ralfordson.
Right. Right. So.
And that caused offense.
A little stir?
It did. It caused offense. The person was offended and actually sent me a very funny email back that was in good fun, but it was funny. And I actually didn't mean to make a bad offer. I really didn't. I thought I was doing. Mike always busts my chops because I'm notorious for floating these first offers that are sometimes questionable. But it's a discussion opener, Mike. It's supposed to be a discussion opener.
I'd say your first offer being questionable is about. It's about as nice of a way as you can put it. Usually okay. It's highway robbery.
All right,
your first
offer. I want to give an example here, okay?
All right.
Doug Wilson probably, when he picked up the phone and called Boston and said, hey, how about Wayne Primo, Marco Sturm, and Brad Stewart for Joe Thornton? Well, okay. Oh, that was just my opening offer, but all right.
Yeah, see ya. I'll take Joe.
Okay, bye. You know, I mean, sometimes you can pull it off.
But it happens like clockwork. Every single year, Doug gets an angry email about a trade he proposed on Fantasy. It happened last year.
It did. Last year was worse.
I think it happened the year before. I think there still might be some animosity lingering from last year over that trade.
Whatever.
That kind gentleman is no longer in our league, but...
that's okay. You can't handle the heat. Get out of dude's kitchen.
But anyway, so, you know, the Sharks roll on. You know, the Sharks roll on. They played a couple of sort of weird games to watch.
Can we talk about the booing on Saturday night?
Okay.
I know I talked about it on the blog, and a lot of people commented on it, but come on. If you were a person who booed on Saturday night, these dudes say shame on you.
That's right. The Sharks have one of the best starts in NHL history, and you're going to boo because the Sharks are only 25% on the power play? I mean, that one power play didn't look good. I agree. And, you know, I take a different tack. I think if you pay your money and you got a ticket, you have a right to boo. You know, that's the way I feel. It doesn't bother me that much. To me, it just shows that you're an idiot if you boo. But it's your right. It's your right.
That's not a way to support a team that you believe has Stanley Cup aspirations. And I just don't think they've done anything this year to deserve that sort of treatment. And while it wasn't in full force like it was last year where, you know, there were several boos raining down from the boo birds in the tank, it was definitely there for that little stretch, and it was frustrating.
So if you're on watch, Sharks fans, from the dudes on hockey, because
right.
We will not tolerate this kind of nonsense.
No booing and no wave.
Yeah, no, the wave. That's
Please
true.
Stop.
Not allowed at hockey games.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Actually, we should get to the next segment because we want to talk to Earl Sleek. So let me switch over here. I'm going to give him a little call.
Now, Earl Sleek is a blogger at Anaheim Ducks blogger, like you said.
Yeah, he is. He blogs actually at SB Nation now. It's battleofcali.com. Let me get him on the line here.
All right, we're using Skype. A little internet phone.
Hello.
Sleek?
Yep.
Hey, it's Mike and Doug from Dudes on Hockey. How are you?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing well, man. It's good to hear from you. Anyway, it's good to have you on the line, and I must congratulate you. You are our first guest in the history of Dudes on Hockey.
So congratulations, dude.
I'll try not to be the last.
Well, we'll see how this interview goes. Don't count your chickens. But anyway, Sleek, I just want to say first off that we have the utmost respect for you and your blog. And so what we have to say coming forward is with the utmost professionalism and respect. So with that in mind, what is it that makes the Ducks suck so much that they are 13 points behind the Sharks?
Oh, well, yeah, we lose games periodically, not at once every 10 games. But, the Ducks have been somewhat thin this year. They're still trying to figure out who they're going to play together on defense. And how their forwards are going to work. Certainly Brendan Morrison hasn't really filled any holes for us. But, you know, I don't mind it so much. Right now it's a very stress-free time to be a Ducks fan because we're not going to catch anybody and we're really not going to get caught anytime soon either. So
it is kind of an interesting situation because I think we both expected for Dallas to be a contender. Now that they've dropped off the map, you guys have this, as you said, a wide expanse of games to play where nothing's close.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice. You know, I'm not going to criticize the team too hard in November and December.
That's so true. I do want to press a little bit on the new move because I used to read you guys over when you were at Blogspot. So can you tell us like what exactly happened? I hope some of our listeners and readers on our blog read Bala California because I think it's good times. So can you tell us exactly what happened?
Well, James Myrtle moved over to the Sports Blogger Network, SBN, and basically invited us to come with him. He was the guy who actually started Bala California 2.5 years ago, sort of as a joke. So we've moved over to, we're at www.battleofcali.com, and we're part of the Sports Blogger Network now. But essentially, that's about all we're hoping that changes. We've got all the writers came with us, and hopefully we'll all just continue doing what we used to do.
That's right. So you got Kings over there, you got Sharks, and you even got some Stars, even though that's not really California.
Yeah, except O'Brien's been writing our Star stuff, and he's really fallen off. He's really depressed right now that the Stars are in such disarray.
I can understand it. So let's get to the preview because, you know, the main reason we brought you on is because, obviously, the Sharks and the Ducks have a matchup. The previous matchup, the Ducks were victorious by a score of 4-0. Clearly, the Sharks' worst loss of the entire season. So for you, my question to you is, first of all, it's sort of an outside onlooker to the Sharks team. How, you know, we're sort of in this echo chamber about how great the Sharks are. Do you really think that the Sharks are as good as their record indicates?
Oh, they're phenomenal. I mean, I've even tried to watch some Sharks games, and I really just can't watch the full game because the game's over sometimes in the first period, or, you know, I can't watch a team get beaten that badly all the time. So the Sharks really can come at teams and just can destroy teams. Even the 4-0 game, because I was in row B for that game. I mean, the Sharks really looked pretty decent, just Jaguar was on fire and the Ducks scored their goals. I'm definitely worried about that game, but you know, there's plenty of excuses built in. We don't need a win right now, so that's helpful.
That's something we always get up for, right? I mean, I don't know if you guys down there view these matchups as sort of precursors to the playoffs, but certainly since you guys won the cup, and I hate to mention that, I'm never going to mention that ever again. You know, certainly fans in San Jose, there's definitely sort of a playoff atmosphere in the building when the Sharks play the Ducks. And do you guys have that sort of same feeling, or is it just sort of like, you know, Sharks, who cares?
No, because, you know, certainly I've got it because of the blog, but, you know, I think Ducks fans in general just enjoy the Sharks games. I was actually kind of an opponent of them changing the schedule because really my favorite games of the year are the Sharks games and the Kings games and the Stars games, and you know, even the Coyotes games were pretty fun, but the Pacific Division, I think, was really well built for that schedule. I almost hated to give up those games. Certainly, if you look at where, you know, the Sharks and Ducks have finished and even how the seasons have gone along since the lockout, they've been very, very close pretty much all the time. I think 13 points difference is probably the most it's been since the lockout.
Hey, Sleek, it's the other dude. Doug, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great. I guess if they had kept the schedule the same, it'd be a pretty dull year, actually, after how some of the other Pacific teams have kind of come out and laid an egg, like Dallas and Phoenix. I watched the other night. And are you a little disappointed in how Phoenix looks this year?
Yeah, and I wrote a bunch of previews saying how great the Pacific Division was going to be this year, too. So, it's definitely, maybe this year wouldn't have been the greatest year for that schedule, except I would have enjoyed sort of living in a central division for a change. You know, I could take 3 points.
Can you tell us a little bit about Bobby Ryan? I was surprised to see him skating on the fourth line the other night against Columbus. What's going on with him?
Yeah, Bobby Ryan, I mean, it's not because Bobby Ryan's playing that poorly, although he did get benched, I think, late in the game against Chicago. It's more, I think, they're just trying to figure out who's playing well with who and spreading out their offense a bit, because that was probably their, you know, the Getzlaff line is always our best line, but Peros, Bobby Ryan, and Ryan Carter formed that fourth line, and they were the second best line of the game, I think. I think it was Peros' first multi-assist game of his career.
Oh, my love. The world is ending. Yeah. Next thing you know, Jody Shelley's going to have 3 points. Oh, he does.
Well, actually, you mentioned earlier that Jaguar had a great game against the Sharks, but it seems like Hiller's been playing pretty well for the Ducks as of late. Is there actually a goalie controversy brewing, or is just the fact that Jaguar makes $87 million a year make him the de facto number one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little of both, because certainly you can see that Hiller is a really great goaltender, and you know, there's points in time when I'm really thinking Hiller could be the future for the Ducks. But the problem is Jaguar's got a contract, a 4-year contract. I think he's a year and a half into. He signed it right after the Cup. It's got a no movement clause, and it's $6 million a year, so it's probably unmovable anyway. So Hiller, I'm thinking, is probably going to go the way of the Brizgalov. He'll back up until his contract's almost up, and then we'll see if we can get something for him or give him
Brian
away.
Brian Burke will just let him go for nothing.
Yeah, Brian Burke can't waive Jaguar, send him to Phoenix.
We're not a rich team, we know now.
Yeah, my next question is about the Brian Burke situation, and just wondering as a Ducks fan how you feel about how that all ended up, and do you think that Bob Murray is going to try and make his stamp on the team this year or wait until the offseason?
I don't think there's much that Bob Murray can do to make his stamp on the team this year. They're so close to the cap, and pretty much everyone's on the last year of their deal. So I think I've been telling Ducks fans on the site, you know, don't count on even learning what Bob Murray is all about until next summer. But next summer should be a very, very interesting time to find out who Bob Murray is all about, because essentially all the third and fourth line and almost all the blue line becomes free agents. And who he re-signs or who he goes after to fill in at that point will probably tell us who he is.
Do you see a little Chris Pronger Jr., maybe Jay Bomeister in your future?
We'll see. I mean, there's certainly money to spend because, although there's a lot of spots to fill as well. I don't know if we're going to go after a lot of big money players. I mean, one of the problems I talked about, I did a series of posts on Brian Burke. And one thing we got to keep in mind is somehow Brian Burke got the Ducks up to become a cap ceiling team, and they really don't belong there. So Bob Murray's got to cut back a little bit just naturally. I mean, even if Burke stayed, he would have to cut back a little bit. So we have to factor that in as well.
All right, Sleep, before we let you go, we've got a little game we want to play with you.
Sure.
It's called the Dudenator. Are you ready to take the Dudenator test? If you pass, you become an honorary dude. Are you ready, Sleek?
I'm ready.
All right, Sleek. Can you predict the top 4 seeds in the West for playoffs?
Top 4 seeds in the West will start with San Jose and Detroit. 3 and 4. Gosh, I haven't really watched a lot of Northwest this year, but I'll say Vancouver. Let's say Luongo coming back really helps them out. And generally, two things. They've played very, very well this year. You know, I think better than a lot of people expected. And they still have $10 million to spend, and that grows by the day. So I'll pick them as third. Let's go with Ducks in the fourth, but primarily not so much because the Ducks are playing well, but because the Kings, the Stars, and the Coyotes are playing so badly. I think there's just points there to pick up.
All right, player on your team you'd like to send to Russia today?
I had a player. I mean, I guess it would be Brendan Morrison, just because that would solve some problems and he's not really producing. I'm not a guy who's down on him as most Ducks fans. I really think he's still kind of injured and we can wait the year and see how good he becomes, but that'd be the answer right now.
Most underrated player on the Ducks?
I think, I'm a big Sammy Paulson guy, and he'd normally be my answer, but he's kind of gotten his heyday during that Cup run. So I'll say Ryan Carter. I mean, he's a hustler. He's in the Sammy Paulson mold. Tries really hard, back checks for two, and he's probably the guy I'll see in the Paulson role.
All right. One word to describe Brian Burke.
Loud.
Okay, better mustache, George Peros or Rosie O'Donnell?
Wow. Well, Peros is bigger in Anaheim, but Peros is spectacular. I can't take that away from him.
All right. And last question. If you had to choose Todd Bertuzzi or a punch in the nuts?
Wait, to sign Todd Bertuzzi?
Yes.
I'd take the punch in the nuts. I mean, that $4 million was really tough.
Very nice. I'd say that you pass. You're an honorary dude. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Sleek.
Although for that fourth seed, you were incorrect. The correct answer is St. Louis.
Well, they start Yeah, I mean, that's the thing we got to keep in mind for that Sharks game, too, is St. Louis will be in Anaheim the day before, so they'll be a little tired, too.
I hope so, for our sake. Well, Sleek, it was great having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that there'll be another Sharks-Ducks preview to be had again in the future.
Oh, certainly.
Okay, great to have you on the line, man.
Thanks, Sleek.
We'll talk to you later. Dude, I think that went well.
I think so. Great preview. Great guy.
Yeah.
I don't like his team, right. But I respect him.
And he knows what he's doing.
He does know what he's talking about, for sure. So I'd say successful first guest. I hope our listeners are all let us know.
We might have another guest next week that's sort of still in the works, but there might be more guests to come on Dudes on Hockey. So
very nice. He passed the Dudenator, too, flying colors.
He did. That was pretty good.
I think I stumped him on that Rosie O'Donnell question.
You did. He didn't know what to say to that.
He picked the Paris. He's got a great mustache.
He does. It's pretty good. Anyway, so we have to move on to other news in the NHL. We have emails to get to. We have other segments to do. But now, you know, we talked about Sean Avery last week. It's been the big thing in the NHL this past week. So we have to talk about Sean Avery. So just for you, our listeners, we actually got a transcript of exactly what happened in the Sean Avery Gary Bettman meeting where the punishment was laid down. So now, introducing Sean Avery and Gary Bettman in Gary Bettman's office. Now, Sean, what you said was disrespectful to the league and to women. For that, I'm going to have to give you a 4-game suspension. What do you have to say for yourself?
Marty Turco is out.
Okay, 6 games. And that did it for this week's episode of Everyone Loves Avery. So thanks for joining us for that particular segment. Maybe we'll have another episode next week.
Yeah, maybe we can get Ray Emery.
Maybe he'll make fun of cancer again. You know, you never know.
Ooh.
I know. Well, Sean Avery did it before. What can you say? You can't put it past him. But anyway, so now that we're through with the Avery business, and the Avery business is getting a little tiresome, I must admit. I like talking about it, but, you know,
it's entertainment, Mike. And that's what this is supposed to be, at least this podcast, entertainment.
In theory.
110 listeners, I got to say, thank you to all the listeners. Keep coming back.
Yeah, we're growing. And with great Avery segments like that, they're just going to keep rolling in, I imagine.
That's right.
Okay, but we do have some emails to get to. So the first one is from a brand new emailer.
Awesome. Thank you.
Anthony from Australia.
Good day.
Can you believe it? I was working on my Australian accent, but then dished it at the last minute. But Anthony asks if we have any information about Torrey Mitchell, and can we go into any depth on that? And he's particularly interested in how his return is going to affect the team roster, who will or should get benched or dropped, and how well do you expect him to perform under the new system? So I didn't have the opportunity to ask Jamie Baker about it on the radio show this past week, but I sort of inquired behind the scenes. They're really, you know, the way the NHL works now is there's no information to be had on injuries. The only thing I can think of is the rumor is he's going to be back around Christmas, maybe the new year. He's rehabbing. As far as I know, there haven't been any setbacks. As far as I know, he's on schedule. As we've mentioned in previous podcasts, the Sharks don't have to rush him back. They're doing great.
Isn't it possible that they would send him down to Worcester for a few games to get some action in before they just throw him in?
Yeah, they could. There is a reconditioning assignment clause in the CBA where you can do that without having to go through the waiver system and stuff like that. I think Chris Chelios actually did that. It was his first AHL game his entire career. So I think that's possible. He might go to Worcester for a few games and play. But in terms of who is going to get dropped or benched, I think it's a little bit of the usual suspects. I think it's Gotch, it's Pleahall. You know, Riley Armstrong won't be in the lineup anymore. It's going to be one of those guys. We got Chichu maybe coming back soon. So I'd say two of those three guys are going to be sort of on the outside looking in. You have any other ideas about that?
No, those make sense. Unless we're still looking at the broken record, Mike, the trade.
There's just so many guys on this team. I guess you could trade people and whittle it down a little bit, I suppose.
Just be one forward. I think it's possible that, you know, everyone's speculating that Chichu is the odd man out. Could very well be. I don't want to see him go, but you know, or Gotch and Pleahall probably have more value than they've ever had.
That's
right
true.
Now.
That's true.
So could the Sharks maybe move one of them? Maybe.
They could. They could. I mean, Chichu, Greer, and Mitchell on the third line would be pretty sweet. And
absolutely.
You would expect Chichu, or Mitchell, that is, to sort of resume his role on the penalty kill with Greer. Mm-hmm. That would be a great penalty kill pairing. I think that, you know, if that comes back and that's the third line, that could easily be the best third line in hockey in terms of all-around ability. I mean, you got Chichu who can score if he regains his touch again. And you got Torrey Mitchell, who's one of the faster guys on the team. I think he fits very well in with this system. And I think third line is sort of where he starts. You know, if other players, you know, fall and don't play well, then Torrey Mitchell may be one of those guys that jumps up.
I'm going to take a stab and say to our friend in Australia that Torrey Mitchell, I don't think, is going to be back until after the new year. There's no rush. Maybe that homestand, Tampa Bay, Calgary, Detroit, Vancouver homestand. Mm-hmm. Look for him then. That's yep. my guess.
Thanks for the question, Anthony. Always great to hear from you. We do have another email from our buddy Ivan Makarov, who wanted to set us straight a little bit on last week. We talked about Norris candidates. We talked about Boyle. And he said, there is an obvious candidate, which we both definitely forgot, and that's Shea Weber. So we need to at least acknowledge that. Shea Weber probably is the front runner for the Norris Trophy as of now. I would certainly put Dan Boyle at least in the conversation, if not as a finalist. And depending on what happens the rest of the year, there might be a little bit of a dogfight for that trophy. But certainly Shea Weber is, I believe, leading defenseman in points right now.
Let's take a look at this, Mike. Are you okay. ready?
Yeah.
Shea Weber, 25 points. Dan Boyle, 24 points. Mm-hmm. Shea Weber, plus 11. Dan Boyle, plus 9. Shea Weber, 33 PIMs. Boyle, 24. And on the power play, Weber has 7 total points and Boyle has 12.
Right.
Boyle has 3 game-winning goals. Weber has 2.
So it's close.
I got to think that winning has to factor into us.
I think it helps, but Mr. Makarov makes the interesting point that the fact that Nashville is more of an Eastern team, plays more in the Eastern time zone or closer to it, they might get some more looks from the people that vote on such things. I don't really know what to say about that. I suppose it certainly seems possible.
I would say if Shea Weber was playing on the Rangers or the Flyers or Pittsburgh, that might factor in. But Nashville is, you know, kind of a black hole of hockey. I think San Jose has more of a higher profile there. But Yvonne's definitely correct that Weber deserves to be in the conversation, and we neglected him. So, Shea,
yes.
We're sorry.
We're sorry. I'm not that sorry, but at least we corrected ourselves.
I'm sorry.
But, dude, you know what that means?
I do.
I think we both know what that means.
This is my favorite segment.
It's time, once again, for Lemieux Watch 2008.
Dude, I am proud to report that Claude Lemieux had a game-winning goal the other night.
Nice.
He has 4 points in 6 games. He's a plus 3. 2 penalty minutes playing on the top line in Worcester.
Did he check anybody face first into the boards?
I cannot speak to that. Unfortunately, the Sharks had the AHL Sharks, Worcester, had quite a penalty-filled affair the other night. Over 100 team penalty minutes, I think, and Claude Lemieux didn't have any. So, a little disappointing.
Guess he wasn't on the ice.
I guess, but it sounds like, from the stats, that Claude is playing well.
That's right. I guess we're going to get pretty soon to that point where the Sharks are going to have to give him a minor league deal. So it might be interesting to see what happens out of that, if it's in fact the Sharks that make that offer, or if another team swoops in and takes him.
I'm feeling more confident by the day that he is going to be on the big club, baby.
Wow. I never would have believed it when you said Claude Lemieux was coming back, that he might actually be on this team. But he's on the top line. I mean, that is unbelievable.
Why would Sharks management allow that to happen? Yeah, I know that the franchises aren't directly related, but you know, Doug Wilson, I think, does have some say in what's going on down there. I think that they're trying to play probably McClellan's system, so when the team comes up or guys come up, they have a clue what's going on. Mm-hmm. And you know, Doug Wilson wouldn't sign or have suggested Claude Lemieux and say, yeah, why don't you put him on the top line so Jamie McGinn doesn't get those top minutes? No
right.
way. No
You're
way.
Right.
Taking a long look. Cloud is coming.
All right, it's time to go to the shootout. We do have a few interesting stories. The first of all is Barry Melrose was on the Fan 560.
Awesome.
Last couple games, and he blasted Tampa Bay. He said that he hopes they lose every game this year. He said that the owners are trying to coach the team. He said Steven Stamkos isn't fit to be in the NHL. He said all men. I mean, I can't even list them all. There. So
he even
many,
said he didn't really like most of the players. I know. I like that one.
He said so many interesting incendiary things.
He said if a coach says that they're rooting for their old team, that they're lying.
Wow.
That's what he said.
And he's already back on the worldwide leader. That is ESPN. So
good for him for being honest and speaking about the mess that we know is a mess. It's like talking about Donald Trump's toupee. Oh, I don't have a toupee. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
You're not fooling anybody.
We know that it's real. We know Tampa Bay's a mess, but they've won one game after Melrose left.
Yeah, clearly it's not a coaching problem that they've got.
No, it's a general mismanagement cluster.
Beep. Cluster. Yeah,
anyway. Thank you.
You're welcome. So next is another coaching story. Peter LaViolette is out as the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, and Paul Maurice inexplicably is back in as the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. What the is going on with that?
It's like McClellan goes on a 5-game losing streak. We bring back Ron Wilson.
Al Sims.
Oops, just kidding.
It'd
yeah.
Like bringing back Al Sims. Sims.
No, that's like bringing back Kevin Constantine.
Yeah, it would be.
I don't get it. I've read a lot of things that Carolina fans are very upset about this. And I don't know. I don't know enough about the Hurricanes to really know other than what when I've seen them play, they suck.
Exactly. And they're probably not going to be a playoff team. Okay, the last story of the night, Matt Sundin. I voted against doing the story in the podcast tonight because I'm sick of talking about this guy, but apparently he's working out in LA. Apparently he's getting close to play. Apparently there was even a rumor that he might play for the Sharks.
Come on.
Tell the listeners how lame that is.
That is pretty lame.
It's not going to happen.
Might happen.
Not going to happen.
How about a line of J.R. Sundin and Lemieux?
I'm sure Sundin would be thrilled to play on the fourth line making $80 million.
There's no chance in HE double hockey sticks that's happening. But, dude, I'm going to put you on the spot. I want you to predict by week's end, Matt Sundin is playing for the...
I still think it's going to be Eastern team. I think it's going to be Montreal. That's my guess.
Ooh, okay.
That is my guess. They are apparently still on the hunt. So what do you think?
My gut is saying Blackhawks.
Oh, man, no.
That's my gut.
Oof. Scary times.
And it's quite large, so it knows a lot.
I think that does it for this week of Dudes on Hockey. Thank you so much for listening. You can check out our blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And we hope to talk to you again next week, same time, same place.
I hope that Sleek didn't get that Ken Klee jersey.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.